Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, it's time to make time for Toski as we welcome the multi-Hall of Famer and regular contributor, Bob Toski. So stay tuned and get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad you'd be along. This hour, we wanted to make time for Toski. Boy, it's been all kinds of things going on in Florida. Our friends on the West Coast were hit massively by Helene, and it's just really sad what's going on all the way through portions of the United States, lives lost and everything else. But we're here to escape a little of that and talk a little bit of golf with a legend. And I'm talking about the one and only Bob Toski, who joins us on the show. Bob, I'm glad you're safe. I know you're having some technology problems and such, but welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you, Keith. Always great to be with you.
Well, we got a lot to talk about this hour, and certainly it was great to be in Boca for your birthday. What a soiree, song and dance, man. And, of course, the dancers, professional dancers came in, all kinds of stuff. And I had Mike Malaska on the show last week. And Mike was talking about what great time we had, and Mike and I got a chance to have dinner together, thanks to you, since you were busy tied up with the family and such, and we had a great sit down, and certainly it was great to have him on the show last week. He'd been on a couple of times before, but never to the level that he came on this time, because he took his first lesson from you, and he certainly was a really good player and an All-American in college, and then he went on to be very successful, and I know that you're on the soapbox to get him into the Golf Teachers Hall of Fame, which I think he certainly deserves to be in.
Without a doubt. The guy has more knowledge of the human anatomy and how it works and related to golf, and I'm just happy to be a friend of his and had spent time with him talking about the golf swing and doing some clinics with him. I admire the guy very much, and I'm glad he had some time to spend with you at the birthday party, which I survived.
Thank goodness. And we're projecting another 5 to 7 birthday parties out of you, so just keep it going. You know, keep working on your soft shoe, and, you know.
No, next year, you're going to love this. I might have some belly dancers.
That a boy. This is the Bob Toski I know and love, but you know, we'll see how that goes. Wait, I'm getting the signal from the guys in the booth. Apparently, we have a caller on the line, and he's an upset attorney. I don't know any idea what he's upset about with Toski. I mean, it can be a hot mess at times, and you know, he's 98 years old, so he's got a lot of baggage and stuff. Sir, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I am so sorry that apparently Bob Toski has offended somebody in some way. Bob, have you ever done that over your life on this earth?
Well, I guess it's my manner in which I teach. Sometimes it's offensive, but I don't think I'm doing that. But I'm very, very adamant about how I teach golf. And
I don't know, sir, have you ever taken a lesson from Bob Toski?
I wouldn't dream of doing that. I know so many people who hired me to sue him because he'd given them improper instruction. So I'm not certainly going to go near him.
Well, I am so sorry to hear that, sir. I just, to Bob, I don't know. I don't know where this is coming from. I'm so bewildered.
Well, do you mind if I introduce myself?
Yes, sir. Why don't you go ahead?
Well, Bob, I'm teasing you. This is somebody that I think you know. If not, I'd be honored to introduce myself. My name is Charlie Meacham, former commissioner of the LPGA and a few other golf-related items. And Keith put me up to this, and I'm I'm no longer a lawyer, so I can't sue you, even if I wanted to. But I'm honored to be on the show with you, Bob.
Yeah, well, what's the idea of a suit?
Just get your attention.
Happy, there you go. Happy belated birthday, Bob, from Charlie Meacham.
Oh, Charlie, I know your name. I'm very proud of you, and I hope I haven't offended you in any way. But I know I'm a Socratic teacher, and I'm a no-nonsense teacher. Never been a no-nonsense player, and then both I succeeded at. With when you get in the Hall of Fame, I think you're doing something right as a teacher, and we'll leave it at
your,
that.
Your reputation is absolutely unqualifiedly positive. I've had the pleasure of meeting you a couple of times. You know, I worked intimately with Arnie for 10 years, and I think we ran across you a couple of times, but I was commissioner of the LPGA for 5 years and have done some other things beside that, but I'm honored to be on the same wavelength with you.
Yeah, what years were you commissioner for the LPGA?
From 1990 to 95. I was 60 years old when I took the job, and I told them, I don't know how long I'm going to be around, so I'll only do it for 5 years. And it's a good thing I said that, because I'd probably still be there, Bob. We had a good run. I'd like to think we elevated the tour, and it's now never been stronger than it is now, particularly with the men's tour so screwed up. So in any event, I had a great 5 years, and I'm so proud of what we were able to do.
I don't want to hold Keith up, but can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
Why are the Korean golfers better than the Americans?
The Americans are still way behind in junior golf. They're beginning to catch up, but the Koreans are so far ahead in programs and systems to teach the kids when they're very young to play. And that's why they've started with C. Ray Pack way back and done nothing but grow. And that's the reason. Now, the American U.S. Ladies are beginning to understand what they've got to do to catch up, and they're beginning to do that. But that's the very simple reason. They trained our girls early and well.
Well, I spent some time in South Korea, and I met many of the men instructors, and I was very impressed with the manner in which they developed their program and their young players.
That's exactly the way it was with the women. And there's another thing that I once asked one of the Korean advisors that we had on the LPGA Tour to help the language and so on. And I asked, why are the girls so much better? And he said, well, there are a lot of reasons. Most importantly, the training. But there's another reason. He said, in Korea, if a woman doesn't have a job, she's destined to spend her life as a housewife and a mother. So a lot of the girls that are prone to golf get into golf because it gives them a livelihood and a job. And I thought that was very interesting because it turns out to be true.
Well, that's true. But why so many in America? Is that because of the money?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Yeah, they're amazing players, and of course, only in America does everybody want to play golf or come to make a living. And I'm proud to say that on this program, because I'm not very happy with what's happened with the male PGA Tour.
It couldn't be worse. There are a lot of people to blame, and that's one of the reasons why women's golf is prospering right now, because we're clear of that crap. And I just went to the Solheim Cup. The U.S. won by a point or two. And women's golf has never been stronger than it is right now. And part of it is, as you suggest, men's golf is in the dump.
Well, that's for sure. I'm very disappointed at what's happening with the LIV tour, and I may be old-fashioned because I'm 98, but only in America did they all make their money and get wealthy, and then they left the country for a better deal.
That's true, and I'm 94, so I'm catching up to you, but I agree with you 100%, and I think us old guys had the best idea. The Arnies and the Toskies built American Golf, and now people are trying to tear it down.
I hear you loud and clear.
Yep.
With two sports legends, Charlie Meacham and Bob Toskey. Surprise, Bob. Two nonagenarians. Charlie wanted to come on the show. He's been on the show before, but he's like, if Toskey's coming on, I'm coming on because I got a lot to talk to Toskey about. And you guys have it right on the button, and I'm not surprised about that. And Charlie, maybe you'll consider being the next commissioner of the PGA Tour because they are one hot mess. And Toskey could be an advisor. Believe me, he could.
I would rather face a firing squad than do that. I was a businessman for 30 plus years before I got into golf, and I learned one lesson that I've never forgotten. How you implement and how you communicate a decision is frequently more important than the decision itself. And that's where the PGA Tour made its first mistake, where it didn't tell anybody what the hell they were doing. And they're going to pay a price for a long time with that.
Well, including not telling their players. How do you not tell the...
Exactly.
That's the craziness. Now, they're not employees. They're contractors. And, but it's still... This is your livelihood as far as the tour goes. You're successful. You exist because these guys like Bob Toskey or the current guys still play on the tour, and that's what keeps things going.
Yep. Well, I spent 10 wonderful years with Arnie at Bay Hill, and I learned so much from him. And one of the things was you never doubted where Arnie stood. And I'd like to think if this whole mess had happened back when he was still alive, it wouldn't have happened.
Oh, I would totally agree. Wouldn't you, Bob? Totally agree with that.
Yeah, well, Arnie would have had a lot of help, too.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, but there would have been a professional. If Sam Snead and Ben Hogan and all the guys that I played with on the tour in the 50s, they'd be turning over in their grave right now.
Oh, you know they are. They revered the game, and the thought of taking Saudi money, just speaking of turning in your grave, that happens about every night to me when I think about that. It's just, and then they have a meeting on 9/11 in New York about the whole goddamn deal. It's just, I don't know, Bob. It just defies imagination. But that's as far as I'll go. If I go any farther, I'll insult some people that I don't want to insult.
Well, as long as you don't say any bad words, the FCC won't come knocking on the door, so we'll be fine. You can. Expels all you want to, Charlie. That's not a problem. We're with Charlie Meacham and Bob Toskey on Tee It Up with Keith Jones. Yeah, what a special show this is, and we have so much more ahead as we go through the hour. And you guys, both of you guys have so many stories and have so many parallels. Bob taught a lot of LPGA players and, helped them be successful on the tour.
Well, I'll give you a case in point. Kupka, what's his first name?
Brooks.
I taught him when he was in college, and I told his coach when he was in college, he didn't even have to stay in college.
With sports legends Charlie Meacham and Bob Toskey, we'll be back. And we're back with Bob Toski and Charlie Meacham. Charlie's spending some time surprising Bob on that way. Bob had a 98th birthday recently, and Charlie, for some reason, was left off the guest list. So, you know, Charlie said, I want to talk with him and come on the show with Bob Toski's there because, well, you know, we have a lot to talk about. We're nonagenarians, and we have a lot in common.
Bob, I just learned that Susie Berning passed away. You may remember her. She won three U.S. Opens and so on and so forth. She just passed away.
I taught Susie, and we were good
friends. Did you really?
Oh, yes. You would be interesting to note, Charlie, that when Bernie Kim won the U.S. Open, who was my student, she allowed me to keep the USGA cup for 1 year. I looked over at the cup and I saw 12 women that I taught that won the U.S. Open.
Oh my God.
So, strange things do happen.
Well, Susie won three of those. I'm not sure anybody's ever done that.
What a wonderful lady.
Yep. I got to know her a little bit. Yep. I got to know her a bit. So that, but they're, these kids, well, you know better than anybody, Bob, they know how to play and they're learning more all the time. But you look at a golf swing like Nelly Korda, it's good stuff.
Charlie, who do you think was the first woman that I met that was a tour player? This was back when I was 16 years old. There was an exhibition at Northampton Country Club, and I was going to caddy for my brother. And in the exhibition was Babe Zaharias. Babe Dietrichson, he won the Open when he was 18 years old. Gene Saracen.
Oh yeah, sure. Oh
and
my God.
Here I am watching these two players, and I remember her getting on the first tee, and she says, "I'm going to loosen my girdle and let this thing fly."
That's a very famous line now, no doubt about it. Now, yeah. She was incredible. She could play, and I heard a funny story. I think Louise Suggs told me this, I think. Babe was playing in some tournament, and she hit a ball into a greenside bunker, and the ball dug right into the sand. So she gets up close to the green, and there's a couple of guys standing over there, and Babe says, "Hey, is that my ball in there?" And the guy picks the ball out of the sand and says, "The title is won." Yeah, that's what it is. He took it and stuck it right back in the sand where it had been before. Babe probably didn't like that, but
he didn't improve her lie, did he?
No, not at all. I got to know Mickey Wright pretty well, too.
Mickey Wright, the greatest player, I think, that I ever played on the LPGA Tour. And she and I were pen pals. And I spent a lot of time. And in fact, I've got a photograph she autographed for me. And I have the number of letters that I kept before she passed away. And boy, was she adamant about the modern way of teaching.
Oh, I'm sure she was. I'm sure she was. Well, her golf swing is about as good as it gets, isn't it, Bob?
Oh, yes. If it's a golf swing that comes to close to 10, it's her.
Yep. I agree with that.
Of course, she was tall and strong, and I think Earl Stewart worked with her.
Yeah.
And got her to draw the ball. I don't know how true that is, but it's interesting that when I won the World Championship in 1954, the guy I beat out was Earl Stewart.
No kidding. I'll be darned.
And Jack Burke.
I was going to ask you if you knew him. Yeah. Did you know Jack Grout, by the way? Did you know Jack Grout?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I thought you would.
Well, Jack Rout, who taught Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Well, you guys hold that thought. We're going to go to a break. This is Bob Toski and the legendary Charlie Meacham on the show on Teed Up with Keith Jones. So proud to bring these two guys together. It's only getting better. We'll be back after this Bottom of the Hour break.
Hi, this is John O'Hurley reminding you you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones. I haven't been this excited since I discovered I couldn't lick my elbow.
Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter.
The Lama.
Long. Into a 10,000-foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Galunga.
And we are back to start the second half of the show, spending it with Bob Toski and Charlie Meacham. You get two for one sports legends this hour, and these guys... just the stories. This is one of the best shows I've ever done, gentlemen, because I just get to sit back and enjoy the conversation because you guys are phenomenal in your own right. And then put you two together. This is Charlie's idea, by the way. He wanted to come on with you, Toski. So we can blame Charlie for all this goodness going on.
I've always admired you, Bob, everything you've done and still doing.
Well, you mentioned Grout teaching Nicklaus.
Yeah.
And I was watching them teach down at Jack at LaGorse Country Club back in the late 50s, the 60s. And one thing I remember about Jack saying to Nicklaus, he kept saying, reach for the sky on your back swing. Reach for the sky. Get those hands reaching for the sky and get some leverage. And I always remember that statement.
And, Jack did that. Jack did that.
And he hit the ball high and far.
I think you might enjoy this story. Jack and I have been close now, I mean really close, for probably 50-plus years. And I went to Muirfield Village the day it opened. And Jack knew I was going. And he said, be sure and call me. I'm really anxious to know what you think about the golf course. So I went and played, and of course, it's a great, great golf course. And I called him the next day, and I said, well, Jack, I was at Muirfield Village. And he said, what did you think? And I said, Jack, it's a great, great golf course. And then I paused a minute, and I said, especially if you can fade a high 2-iron. He said, what are you talking about? I said, you know what I'm talking about. If you can't fade a high 2-iron on that golf course, you might as well go to another golf course.
Well, that's when he beat Arnie in the playoff.
Yeah,
the Open was that. What's the name of the golf course?
Oakmont.
Oakmont.
Yeah. Arnie's backyard.
I thought the big difference was Jack was hitting second shots to the green, and the ball was high and it came into the green soft.
Right.
Arnie was hitting these low trajectory balls, and they weren't holding the green. And the difference in scoring from there, of course, Jack had a big advantage.
I agree, and I once said to Arnie, how with that kind of a trajectory, how the hell did you ever win, four Masters? And he said, well, I just really worked hard to get my ball higher and floater more. But, you know, it's pretty amazing when you think about the kind of trajectory he had on his golf shots that he won even one Master.
Arnie was such a great competitor and a great putter.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. Of course, you know, he was taught by his father.
I know. Nobody else.
And nobody else. And when I and observed Arnie practicing. I noticed that he aimed right.
Yeah.
And he aimed right. And if you aim right, what kind of a shot would you hit? A draw, right?
Yeah.
Well, he would aim right and then try to block it so he wouldn't pull it. So
interesting. Okay.
That's what created that follow through. He had that worry bird follow through.
Oh yeah, and alert.
He was so strong. His hands and arms and body was so strong. So he didn't have to have a perfect golf swing. But I always said this. He was loved by the masses because when he was in the rough and in the trees, he'd make birdie, and they loved him when he got in the trees and the rough and make birdies and pars. And of course, that high handicapper was making sixes and sevens. So he became
very true.
You know, he played with me at the Wilmington Azalea Open in 1954, and he was paired with Bob Towsky and Ted Crowe. And when he walked to the tee, I didn't know who he was. And I said to Ted, "Who the hell is this guy?" Ted Crowe said, his name is Arnold Palmer. He just won the national amateur.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He walked to the tee, you know, he had that mannerism, and he looked nervous. And Ted says, "Loosen that guy up, will you? Tell him some war stories." We shook hands and I said, "You're playing with two Polish guys today. We'll keep you loose." We kept him loose, all right. He shot 65 the first round. And Ted had his card, and he looked at me, and he called me Swifty. He said, "Tighten that SOB up tomorrow." Well, he finished third in the tournament. And that was my introduction to Arnold Palmer, and we became very good friends since then because he said, "You treated me like one of the boys when I walked to the team."
I'm sure he did. People would say to me, "Was he the same in public as private?" And I said, "The same man, no matter where." He was who he was, and that's why people loved him. And we had a lot of fun together. Had a lot of Kettle One together too. I must confess. But he was a joy to be around, as you know.
You know, Charlie. Fame can change people, but fame didn't change Arnie. He was. I always called him the All American Boy.
You got it.
He didn't change. He acted like every time he met somebody that they were part of his family.
That's exactly right. And Winnie, rest her soul, was the same kind of person. And then Arnie married a second time, Kit was a good lady too. So they took good care of him, and he needed it sometimes.
Well, you know, it's amazing how so many great athletes pass away younger. And here I am at 98 and living one hell of a life.
Are you in good health?
If I were in better health, I couldn't handle it.
Well, I haven't got many friends left. I mean, they're all they're dying off on me. I got a few, though.
Well, Charlie, do you know that I'm the only golfer in the 50s that played on the tour that's alive? All of them, when Jack Burke died at 100 years of age, I became I'm the only living legend that can tell a story because these guys are underground and I'm above it.
Well, now you can tell any stories you want now.
Well, yes, but I want to make sure they're true.
Me too.
I'll tell you one story you loved. I was playing with Mangrum, and I was a rookie on a tour. And on this one hole, Mangum drove it in a rough to the right, and I was in the fairway, and he was going over to play his second shot, and I hit my second shot on the green. And at that time, there were no ropes. The gallery could just practically shake your hand.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he played his second shot on the green, and then he ran up to the fairway and caught up to me, and he said, "Bob, I was attempting to play my second shot, and I heard these two ladies talking, and one lady said, 'Who's that young kid playing with Mangrum?' And the other lady said, 'Well, that's Bob Toski.' And then the other lady said, 'Let's go get a hot dog.'"
That's terrific. That is terrific. Well,
Lord Mangrum called me the hot dog boy.
That's great. I talked Mickey and Kathy Whitworth to play an exhibition when I was commissioner of the LPGA. They teed off before the regular tour gals went off. And I'd never seen Mickey swing. So my wife and I went out and watched her. And it was just a revelation when you saw her swing for the first time. And she was on down the course a little bit, and I was just outside the ropes. And one of the young tour players came running up to me and said, Commissioner, she doesn't have a yardage book." I said, "No, and she never will." So, well, I can't understand that. How do you play without a yardage book? I said, "When you're Mickey Wright, you don't need one."
Well, Demerit said it better than anyone. God gave you a pair of eyes and a pair of hands, and for your eyes to see where you had to go and your hands to control the golf club. And if you knew how to look at a target and train your eyes, you may not be perfect, but you wouldn't be more than 5 yards off.
That's exactly right.
So we never.
I guess as we get older, Bob, we tend to look back and say, "Well, that wasn't like the old good old days." But damn it, it wasn't. It isn't. It isn't like the old days. So we just
The time they spend, Charlie, now to hit a golf shot, and they talk with their caddies converse, and it drives me crazy. We used to just walk into the balls, waggle the club, and take a look once or twice, and let her go.
I'm convinced, Bob, that the longer you stand over a putt, the greater the likelihood is that you'll miss it. I really think so. Because
I agree with you, because then your conscious effort and your subconscious effort conflict. Once you stand over that putter with the putter to putt the ball, you don't start thinking about any conscious effort. It's all feel, touch. And
that's
just trust your hands and golf club to find the ball to roll it in the hole.
And, you know, I've always felt that the greatest players, probably some exceptions to this, but the greatest players were also great putters at their peak. And that includes the women as well. Nancy Lopez was a great putter.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's what I was going to say. I think she was a great putter.
I think she's probably the best putter that ever lived.
I totally agree. I just saw her last week. I saw her at the Solheim Cup, and she's the same Nancy, smiling and talking to everybody. And I really think, in spite of all the great young players, I think Nancy's still the most beloved player in the history of the LPGA.
Well, that's interesting, because you would know more about that than I would. And, you know, Kathy Whitworth wasn't a bad putter.
Oh, God, no.
And
great lady. Kathy and I, just good pals. I was so sad when she passed away. I had just talked to her like the day before, but she was a great gal. And there's been some wonderful. And of course, Suggs was one of my all time favorites, because he.
Oh, yes. Louise became very friendly with my wife, Lynn. And, you know, I go back so far that half the people that I talk about, no one knows. And I said, you better study the history of the game.
That's right. That's right.
Patty Berg, I knew her real well.
She was a beauty.
And boy, she could put on an exhibition. She was something.
Maybe among the two or three best given a show. No question about it. We've been blessed, Bob. We've really been blessed to have had the chance to watch some of these players that will never be never be anybody like them. People and so on. Yeah.
Well, Charlie, never in my life that when I went on tour at 22 years of age did I would ever experience playing golf with Sam Snead and Byron Nelson and Middlekoff they made my life richer, and because they took an interest in me because I was so small and light. And I'll never forget the time that I spent with these guys on the tour, and every day my memories go to them because they're all passed away. But the camaraderie we had was, just like a college fraternity.
Oh, yeah.
And I could tell you stories and stories about Sam and Demerit and Mangrum and Snead that would break your heart and make you laugh.
Yep. Great, great people and great players. And I could do the same and you could too with the women. And God, these young kids are good now. I must say they can play. And that's why the women's tour is doing so well.
Yes. I'm so impressed with the, how many Korean players are on their tour,
Well, at one point it was about 40 or 50. It's less so now because some of the American players are coming on pretty strong, especially of course, Korda's Australian, but, there aren't as many as there used to be, but the ones that are on the tour are good, very good.
They're so consistent, and their golf swings are so simple. They're not.
The biggest challenge I had is the first Korean came on the tour when I was commissioner, and C. Ray Pack. But as the other Koreans came on, most of them couldn't speak English. And that was one of my biggest challenges because, if you're a business guy and you pay $2,000 or $3,000 or maybe more than that to play in a pro-am, you want to talk to your player. So went to work on that. We hired a couple of Korean guys to help translate and teach, and it's come a long way since then. But I'm proud of the fact that we gotta go.
Charlie, you're so right because I've watched TV a lot, and when the Korean players would win, they couldn't speak English, and I said, "Boy, somebody's got some work to do here."
Yeah. Indeed, we got about 5 minutes to go with Bob Toski and Charlie Meacham. Head to our final break. We'll be back.
Hey everyone, this is Dr. Greg Rose from TPI, and even when I don't have time to work out, I always make time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Hi, this is Nick Price, and you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones.
And we're back for our final segment of the show. It's been great to sit in and just listen to two legends, Bob Toski, our regular contributor, and Charlie Meacham, who was here to talk with Bob and just reminisce, and the stories are just fantastic. So now that we're back from the break, gentlemen, you spend the last 5 minutes however you'd like to. Obviously, the Korean players on the LPGA have an impact, and I think that you both made a great point early on where the American system for the youth is far behind the rest of the world, especially Korea.
Beginning to catch up, but far behind for a starter. I'll make one quick story because Bob should have the last word. But I was really struck when I went to the Solheim Cup, when the American team came out, the crowd went absolutely bananas. The girls came out dancing and skipping and like young high school kids would. And I thought, Jesus, if some of the stuffy men, instead of walking away and joining the Saudi Arabian tour, if they just act like these girls and be happy. But I never will forget that. Nelly Korda particularly came skipping and dancing out to the first tee and then proceeded to hit the ball almost 300 yards down the middle. So I'm so happy that the LPGA is doing so well at this point.
Yeah, but that type of energy is what people want to see.
That's
that
right.
Energy
exactly.
That they portrayed. This is what showmanship is all about. This is what life is all about.
So right. So right. And you and I, Bob, have been so lucky to have experienced so many great players. I got to know a lot of the PGA Tour players, too. Nothing like you, but I got to know a lot of them. And Nicholas and I are still, we talk once or twice every week still. And he and Arnie are two different as two peas in another pod, but they both brought so much to the game.
Yeah, I'll tell you a little story before we leave. I met Walter Hagen, I met Gene Sarazen, I met Henry Cotton. I can go way back,
yep.
A lot of the people that I met. And imagine me meeting Walter Hagen.
Yeah. God.
What a life I've had.
What a treat. And they were special people.
Tell me about it.
Well, we're lucky, and hopefully we'll be around a few more years to tell a few more stories.
Well, I agree with you, Charlie, and I'm glad that Keith gave us the time to converse and to reminisce about the tour and the people that you and I have met, and that's what golf is all about. And I'm happy to be alive and still be able to talk about it.
Me too, golf should be fun, damn it. It's intense, and it should be intense, but it should also be fun. And today's the guys now are surrounded by, 10 guys rubbing them down and doing all the stuff for them. They ought to just have fun.
Well, I'm happy to see the money purses for the women increase, and they should keep increasing because the players are great athletes. People don't realize how much talent it takes to play golf consistently for 4 days. People have no idea how good these people can play.
You're so right. I'm glad to hear you say that because you're 100% right. And of course, it's what I say every chance I get. But Bob, it's been an honor for me to have the chance to visit with you, and hope maybe, Keith, we can do it again.
Absolutely, gentlemen. Really, really enjoyed it. Bob, you're a regular contributor, but Charlie, fantastic job on that. I appreciate both of you guys. You both hang on, and we'll come back with you guys in a second. But fantastic to have two sports legends, two guys so integral in the game of golf on both sides, on the women's side and the men's side, and intertwining and such. The great Charlie Meacham, who is 4 years behind Bob, so he's got to stick around for a little longer. Toski, 98 and going strong. You heard it. The guy remembers every shot he hit back in 1947 when he started on the tour. It is insane to me, but this is such an honor, gentlemen. Thank you so much for that. And thank you so much for joining us as well. We're just about out of time, so we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Get out there and practice your game. Oh, and I also want to say Kathy Whitworth was a great guest on this show as well. But practice, practice. Take your game to the next level, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.